Hey friends, welcome to The Drivecast, a daily podcast designed to help us read it in, pray it up, and live it out. My name is Dan, and I serve as the teaching pastor for our Worthington campus. Today, we're starting a new series looking at the messages as we begin a series through the New Testament letter of Philippians, a letter written by the Apostle Paul to provoke joy within the church that he's writing to and in us today. We'll say this a couple times, 16 times through the book of Philippians. Paul calls the Philippians to practice joy, to rejoice. And what we see over and over and over again is that God is ultimately the source of unshakable joy. And the subtext of this whole letter is that we, as followers of Jesus, are actually liberated from demanding from all of our horizontal relationships, our relationships, you know, with friends and family, spouses, relationship to our money and possessions. We're liberated from demanding from these horizontal relationships something that they were never intended to provide, and that is our deepest source of joy. We actually find that only in our vertical relationship between us and God. That's what we're going to study in the book of Philippians. At Worthington this week, we took a pause, and before we jumped into this letter, we wanted to get the prequel of sorts and look at the origin story of the church in Philippi, the very beginning of this church that Paul was writing to. And we see that story recounted for us in the New Testament letter of Acts. Acts is the earliest history of followers of Jesus, and it's almost like this Ken Burns-style documentary where Luke, the author of Acts, is interviewing eyewitnesses. He himself was probably one of those witnesses who traveled along with some of the earliest leaders of the New Testament church. And he records all of this in part one and part two. Part one is the Gospel of Luke. Part two is the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 16, we find the Apostle Paul and his crew, probably joined by Luke himself, they arrive in the city of Philippi. Philippi was a very interesting city. It wasn't like many of the other ones that Paul had visited, because this was a Roman colony, meaning that it was filled with people who were granted full Roman citizenship by virtue of their relationship to the Roman government. That wasn't true of many of the other cities Paul was in. Philippi was a much older city and well-established by the time that Paul visited there. It was near a closer port city and was set along a very strategic trade route that stretched from really the Mediterranean Sea all the way into Istanbul. And so Paul saw the city of Philippi as a strategic location for the gospel to take root and spread through the rest of the Roman Empire. And that's really what happened. Interestingly enough, we know from the historical evidence that the church that Paul establishes somewhere around 50 AD continued in operation till around 700 AD. That's a 650-year-old church. That is absolutely incredible. Still existing in the city of Philippi. It came to a close somewhere around the time of 700 AD. Well, Paul's writing this letter, but we see in Acts 16 the origin story of this church. And really, the beautiful thing about Acts chapter 16 is that it gives us three different little vignettes of the kinds of people who show up in the local church. And it reminds us that the local church is not made up of one kind of person. That there's people with very different types of stories, and that there are different barriers to the gospel that are represented by the different people in Acts chapter 16. You have famously Lydia, who is one of the first female leaders within the church. She's one of the ladies who in Philippi is a wealthy trader. She deals with fine linens. She happens to be in Philippi at the time. Hears Paul's message about Jesus, responds in faith, becomes a follower of Jesus. Her and her whole household are baptized. She's eager to get going. You see in the end of chapter 16, the story of the Philippian jailer, the person who was overseeing the jail cell that Paul was eventually thrown into because of some other events. And this whole incident where there's an earthquake, Paul does not escape when the jail cell opens up. And the Philippian jailer is so amazed that Paul would respond in that way that he listens to the message that Paul has about Jesus, becomes a follower of Jesus, finds his hope and transformation in Jesus. But in the middle of these two stories, Lydia and the Philippian jailer, there's this very intriguing story about a slave girl who is oppressed by a spirit. Right? And I think we're supposed to read into the story that this is an evil spirit that's giving her a supernatural power of divination, fortune telling. She has a pair of owners who are carrying her around through the city. They make a profit on her ability to basically tell the future or give people's fortune. And as Paul is walking through the city of Philippi, this girl, probably somewhere between the age of 12 and 15, this girl's following her, proclaiming that these men are servants of the Most High God. They bring a message of salvation. And Paul, it's very odd at face value, because Paul gets so annoyed with this that he turns around and he casts a spirit out of this girl, and she's freed. And I think it's a story that kind of leaves some of us scratching our head a little bit and what we're supposed to do with it. This happens often in the New Testament, where there's this reference to the spiritual realm that we're really not sure, like, do we take this literally? Is this something that, you know, they just didn't have the vocabulary to explain back in the day? What is going on here? And I think what we're seeing is Luke focusing in on the fact that there are some in the cities that we find ourselves in, some people have a spiritual oppression. They have a spiritual enslavement over them. Now, again, we have different ways of talking about this today, right? And I think a lot of times we see spiritual oppression come in the form of addiction, whether to sex, money, power, drugs, alcohol, or even, you know, an addiction to things that we don't typically think of involving addiction. You know, so you can be addicted to anger. You can be addicted to your own self-image. In fact, I think that's something that I'm often guilty of as a often, you know, demonstrated selfish person. I am guilty of worshiping an image of myself that I see really as a God, right, in my heart of hearts, and, you know, want other people to go along with my ideas, what I have put together, what I think is the best way forward, right? There's this selfishness, and we don't often talk about it this way, but there is a very real spiritual oppression at work when we give ourselves to the idols around us, whether or not we recognize them as idols. And I think what Luke is showing us in Acts chapter 16 is that at the very beginning of the church in Philippi, there is this remarkable gift of freedom from spiritual oppression. And that is going to be the story that we want to see told over and over and over again at LifePoint, where we see people like this one girl in the middle of chapter 16. We don't even know her name, but she is a remarkable picture of the power that the gospel has to bring very real and tangible freedom from a whole host of different things that ensnare us in this life. And I love the way that this story ends, because these officials eventually bring Paul and his companions in front of the magistrates into the marketplace of Philippi, and they are charged with something really interesting. That these are, it's said that these are the two people, one translation says, who are turning this city upside down, right? Because of what they are doing in the name of Jesus is creating such a ruckus to this, you know, unjust system at play, where the kingdom is having its work in reshaping and breaking down barriers. That's what we want to have said about us at LifePoint. As people look at the landscape of Columbus, as they look at our communities, that they would say, who are these, what is this church that is turning this city upside down? Right? Because we want to see the gospel have such a rooted impact where we are at in our churches, that it is flipping the world as we know it on its head for the fame and glory of Jesus. That's what we talked about. And so as we go forward into this book of Philippians, I invite you to join with us each week as we unpack and sometimes go a little bit deeper in the messages that we don't get to share on Sunday mornings. You'll hear from all of the LifePoint pastors as we share the things that God is working on our hearts for and the things that we want our church to be engaged in going forward. And what we will see over and over and over again in the book of Philippians is that we are liberated from the endless pursuit of demanding from our horizontal relationships something that they cannot give us. We can find fully our joy, our unshakable joy in Jesus. Thanks for tuning into the Drivecast. We'll see you back here tomorrow.